Welcome to Grace Community Church, everybody, our Lathrop campus. My name is Pastor Ben Kelly, and I'm the lead pastor over at our Tracy campus, so it's always a delight to be with you guys every time we come over here. So, everything okay over there?
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah.
I just couldn't see those people, and I forget next service, so I fixed it.
Okay, great. Great. I was driving over this morning from Tracy, and I got to go over to Tracy and then got to come back here. And it's always interesting as you kind of plan out lessons and different topics that you're teaching. And Pastor Bill gave me this passage, and he says, you're teaching on Galatians 4, 21 to 31. And when you first read the passage, it's one of those things, it's like, okay, where are you going to go with this? But I was reminded again as I was driving there and driving back that, and Pastor Bill says it often, that no one's here by mistake, but we're here by what? And the passages that God prepares and lays out for us to hear every Sunday is always poignant. It's always directed to each one of us. And so what I think sometimes that may be applicable to people or what folks need to hear, God has something totally different. And so as I teach from a passage in Galatians 4, it may deal with things that at first seem kind of far off or what does this have to do with me? But I'm certain that the Holy Spirit in your life, in this place, is going to make impact in your life and in your heart. And so that brings me comfort because I don't feel like I have to try and make sure I'm going to talk to every person's specific thing that's going on in their life because I can't do that. I don't know what's going on in your life just as you don't know what's going on in my life. I don't know if you had a great morning. I don't know if you had one of those mornings where you were trying to scramble out the door to get ready to be here or you left this there and you forgot to pick up this or that. I don't know. I don't know what your day is going to be after this time that we have together. But what I do know is that God wants to speak to each one of our hearts. And God does. And so I'm grateful for that. And I'm excited that we have the opportunity to look at this passage today. So it's from Galatians 4, 21 to 31. And some of you may already know that Pastor Bill and Pastor Paul have been going through the book of Galatians. And the book of Galatians, when you think about it, it's really to be read in one sitting. You're supposed to kind of read the whole entire thing. Often when people in those days would receive the letters from different apostles, they were so excited to sit there and read and listen to what they were saying. And so they just wouldn't read one chapter this day and then the next day cover another chapter or five verses here or five verses there. They would often sit down and read the entire thing. Because just as a note that I would send to Ted, Ted wouldn't just read part of the note one day and save the rest for the next day. He would read the entire thing because you want to have all of the context of what is taking place. And so this book is a fantastic one. And really the argument that Paul is making from Galatians 4 is something that he started way back in Galatians chapter 1. Understand, and I know Pastor Paul and Pastor Bill may have covered this, but the book of Galatians is not just written to a church in Galatia, but it's written to an entire region. The entire region of Galatia, Paul has written this to. Okay? Paul had visited the region of Galatia prior to writing this letter in one of his early missionary journeys. And Paul shared with them the message of Jesus Christ. He shared with them the message that you guys just sang, which was what? It's all because of Jesus that we're alive. That's what Paul communicated to these people. But as he was in Jerusalem at this Council of Jerusalem, they call it, in Acts chapter 15 that you read about, he heard about these people who were trying to teach a different message that Paul had already taught them. These people were called Judaizers. And what they were trying to do was help these people first become a good Jew before becoming a Christian. This is why Paul's words in Galatians chapter 1 verse 6 are so strong. He says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. This is what Paul was trying to diffuse in Jerusalem. This is what Paul was trying to diffuse when he first got to the region of Galatia. Quite honestly, this is what Martin Luther was trying to diffuse and worked so hard to destroy in leading to the Great Reformation. And what Paul and what Martin Luther and what we hope to diffuse is the desire for religion. And that may seem odd being in a church. You're thinking, well, Ben, we're in a church. Isn't that what religion is? No, it's not. Religion leads to another form of bondage. It does. Just as sin did, Christ leads to freedom. Hence the anthem verse of Galatians 5:1, which says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Paul wrote this letter to remind the people of what he had taught them, that you're free in Christ. Every time I think of free in Christ, and this probably has nothing to do with the message, but there's this Little Caesars commercial on TV. You guys ever seen this, Little Caesars? I used to work there when I was in high school. And there's this girl, and for some reason, the cheesy bread can fly. This has nothing to do with anything. And I just picture this girl, because at the end of the commercial, she would say, "You're free, cheesy bread, you're free," and it would fly away. And every time I think of freedom in Christ now, or freedom, I just can't help but picture this little girl going, "You're free, cheesy bread, you're free." So now you can think of that too when you read Galatians. All right, so, you know, you get to experience some of that. But this is what Paul is trying to deal with, okay? Paul is saying it's not a set of rules or a religion that changes someone, but it's Jesus who changes your heart that allows your life to change. This is why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 20, "Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called." Paul and Jesus and we are not wanting people to fit this cookie-cutter mold of what a Christian is. We want you to be you. We want your life changed by Christ. And I say that in order to jump into this passage, because it's a great one, but sometimes people will read through it and it may be hard to digest at times, but there's a lot to it. And what Paul is trying to get these Galatian people to understand is that you're free in Christ. You no longer have to live in bondage to a set of rules or to a religion. You're free in Christ. So here goes, Galatians 4:21-31. I'm going to read it for us. It says, "Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through the promise." You guys getting all this? Okay, you should, because there's a test at the end. "Now this may be interpreted allegorically. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children." There's not going to be a test. I'm kidding, okay? So don't get nervous. I know some of you guys' hands are already sweating because I said that. "But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, 'Rejoice, O barren one who does not bear. Break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than those of one who has a husband. Now you, brothers like Isaac, are children of promise. But just as at that time he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so also it is now. But what does the Scripture say? 'Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman.' So, brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman." Aren't you like, wow, this is great stuff, Ben? This is why Pastor Bill's like, "You get to teach on this. You take this one, Ben." And I was like, great. I think he's getting back at me because last time I had him go to the Tracy campus, he had to teach on giving. So he's like, "You get this one today." But really, this passage has a threefold progression. Number one, it introduces the facts of the story itself in the first couple of verses. Then Paul develops this allegory, okay? And then he applies it to the Christians of that day and even to us today. And what I want to do is just break down quickly this passage in all of the verses, and then I want to talk about the so what. What does it mean for us today? But verse 21, it says, "Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law?" Those who are desiring to be under the law really should retreat from their folly, is what Paul is mentioning, what he's trying to talk about. The law does not save. Religion does not save. In the Old Testament, before Jesus came, God gave the Israelite people the law. And it was out of grace that God gave him this law, gave them the law. And that may seem odd, but the reason he gave it to them is so that they would understand their sin, that they would recognize their sin and understand that there was a need for what? A Savior. If God had not laid out this law for them, this understanding of what is right and what is wrong, man would be stuck in this bondage of sin. And what the law did was reveal the sin that was in their life, and hopefully it would reveal the need for a Savior. That's what Paul is dealing with in verse 21. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you want to be under that forever? No way is the answer. No way. Why would I like to be under that? It's just like us when we're trying to get under or from underneath our parents, okay? We love our parents, okay? But as a kid, all we want to do is be on our own, don't we? We don't want to stay under our parents' household all the time. Although it's safe sometimes, we're to be out on our own. The same is to be said about the law. We're not to remain under the law. It was just a means to understand what sin was and the need that you have for a Savior. And then verse 22, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. Paul is dealing with Abraham had a son named Ishmael, who was the son of Hagar. And then he had Isaac, who was the son of Sarah. Paul addresses really the pride of their heritage at this point. Many of these Jewish people, many of the people who were grown up in Israel and Jerusalem and the surrounding areas, they prided themselves on being a descendant of Abraham. Perhaps they were through blood, but spiritually, they were not a child of Abraham at all. For the children of Abraham are those who have trusted in the promise of God and the fact that Jesus would one day come and give eternal life to those who place their trust in Him. This is why God says to Abraham way back in Genesis, and you'll see this on the screen, Genesis chapter 15, verse 5, and he, God brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. That's what God told Abraham. And these people were thinking, well, we're physical descendants of Abraham. Those are not the stars that he's talking about. The stars are the ones who have the light within them, Jesus Christ, who have trusted Him, and now they shine like stars in the universe, as the Word talks about. Isn't there a satellite that's supposed to be falling to the earth like at this very moment right now? Did you guys read that in the news? I think it's interesting. Not a big one, so don't be nervous, okay? It's not like Chicken Little thing, but I read that the other day, and they're like, yeah, this suburban-sized satellite's supposed to fall down between Sunday night and Monday morning. But no need to worry because the earth is like 70% full of water, so it's probably going to hit that. And I'm like, that's great. That's great. So I told my kids because they love that stuff. So now they're going to be like, huh, looking around. But interesting, this pride. We have pride as well, just as the original audience did. We have this pride of piety, of this holiness. We're holier than thou. Pride of nationality, a pride of heritage. And really, pride over anything but pride in Christ really leads to nothing. It leads to bondage, quite honestly. And more to that a little bit later. Verse 23 goes on to say, but the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through the promise. Two things to note about these sons that were born, okay? Number one, the first thing to note, and this blows me away, is Ishmael was born to Abraham around the age, Abraham was probably around 86 years old, they calculated out. When he had Isaac, he was 99 years old. That's pretty old. I'm going to be 38, and I think, man, if I had a kid right now, I don't know what I would do. I would probably freak out. I mean, we have two kids, and if I had to go through the diaper things and things like that, it would just be bad news. I couldn't do it. Abraham was 99. These two sons, they were born of different mothers, obviously. One in bondage, okay, represented by, she was a slave that Sarah had given to Abraham. And what Abraham and Sarah really were trying to do is, they didn't necessarily trust God all the time. God told Abraham in Genesis 15, you're going to have descendants that outnumber the sand on the seashores, okay, that are going to outnumber the stars that you see in the sky. And so Abraham and Sarah are like, well, great, let's start that process. They were ready. But it wasn't happening according to their speed and their time frame. And so what Abraham and Sarah tried to do is they tried to procure their own child. They tried to manufacture in their own timing. And it led to Ishmael. But when Isaac was born, it was a supernatural type of thing. Because when they were way beyond their years to have a child, That's when God said, okay, now you get to have a son born from your own wife, not manufactured by you, but something that I have ordained, something that I have done. Okay? Verse 24 to 25. Now this may be interpreted allegorically. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. Hagar and the son Ishmael represent the old covenant. They represent the law that the people were under to represent and to show the people that they were sinners in need of a savior. Paul uses this to illustrate the fact that one cannot contain righteousness through following a set of rules or regulations. Not even being a physical descendant from Abraham gives you the ability to have eternal life. And that represented the current state that Jerusalem was at that moment. Because remember, what did Jerusalem do when the new covenant or the promise showed up? The promise being Jesus Christ. What was Jerusalem's response? We'll have none of this. Matter of fact, let's crucify this man. And that's what Paul is saying. That is the Jerusalem of that day. But there is a heavenly Jerusalem. A Jerusalem that represents the promise of God in the form of His Son, Jesus Christ. And that is what Isaac represented when he was born to Abraham and Sarah in their age that they were. It represented the promise to come in the person of Jesus Christ. Paul had worked so hard to rid the region of Galatia from this desire to be pious or legalistic, but once again it found its way back into that place. And you know what? It finds its way back into church over and over and over, doesn't it? We try to confine ourselves to these rules and regulations of what a Christian's supposed to be like. More to that in a few minutes. Verse 26 to 27, and then we're going to get to some fun stuff. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother, for it is written, rejoice, O barren one who does not bear. Break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than those of the one who has a husband. Paul is talking about Isaiah chapter 54, verse 1. He's mentioning the verses that were there because the Jewish people at that time would have heard it. They would have recognized what Paul was saying. And as you guys listen to this, you may be thinking, man, this is a lot of things. And sometimes people shy away from this. There's a lot to it. There's a lot of information. There's a lot of connections between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And it's not just for knowledge's sake. The reason I think we bring them up and the reason we must talk about it is because when God makes an impact in your mind, it changes your whole entire life. And when you understand something mentally as well as understanding it in your heart, in the person of Jesus Christ, it's amazing what that truth can do in your life and how it can cause you to trust God in other situations when it may be hard to understand. So this is just part of that process. All right, verse 28, now you brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. And then verse 29, and this is where we have the but. Okay, you always have buts in passages. It says, but just as the time he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so also it is now. Paul brings up the fact that Hagar or Ishmael, the one who represented the old covenant, would often laugh and they would scoff at Isaac, the one that was promised to be born. And Paul brings this up to say that there are going to be people in your life who are going to laugh, who are going to make fun of what's going on in your life. We see that today, don't we? Those people who may think, you don't fit the mold of a Christian. And so they seek to make fun. They seek to dishonor God and the work that He's done in your life. And then verse 30, but what does the Scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son. For the son of the slave woman shall not inherit the son of the free woman. So what do? Do we get angry and just take our ball and go home and say, fine, I'm not coming back anymore? Nope. It says get rid of those people who are distracting. That sounds super harsh, doesn't it? But that's how serious it is. That's how serious an offense it is towards God when He says you have to fit a set of rules rather than experiencing freedom in Christ. Which brings me to the so what. What does this mean for us today? I think it means a lot. Number one, it means break the mold. Break the mold. I want to let you in on a little secret of Ben Kelly, okay? And this may totally break my image, or actually, I don't think I have an image anymore when you're 38, do you? No. Okay, my image is I have two kids, we have a minivan, that's it, all right? That's my image nowadays, okay? I'm no longer cool. When I was a youngster, I would love to bake. I really loved baking. And there was something about it, everything, mixing things together. Do you remember this, Heather, when I was a kid? I liked baking. Cakes, cookies, cupcakes, it didn't matter. The only thing I really didn't like was putting them in the oven and waiting. That guy kind of got old, so I didn't worry about that too much. But this baking leads to a great point. In baking, you're always using molds, aren't you? When you're making cupcakes, you're using molds. When you're making a cake, you have to find the right size pan. When you're making cookies, you have the cutouts, the Santa cutouts, the snowman cutouts, or whatever you want to use. But it's interesting. An interesting thing happened a couple weeks back. Madison and I got a wild hair and I wanted to make some chocolate peanut butter cookies. So I had Madison, my daughter, help me, and we mixed everything together. And I said, okay, Mad, let's put these on the pan now, and then we'll throw them into the oven. And so I walked out. I just think I was checking the score of the football game. And I came back in, and they were all perfectly balled up into little spheres. And they were sitting there on the cookie sheet. And I'm like, what are you doing? You can't do that, Madison. She's like, what? First thing, she couldn't do it because she put her hands in there and got them all yucky. Who knows if she washed her hands? Second thing is I said, Madison, you have to take two forks, okay? This illustration could use go a lot of ways. You have to take two forks, and you scoop up one fork, and you just push it off the other fork down onto the cookie sheet. And then it's just right. And I know, Madison, not all the cookies are going to look the same when they go into the oven. And you know what? Not all the cookies are going to look exactly the same when they come out of the oven. But they're going to work out just fine, Madison. And so I made her put them all back in and redo it. So she was kind of bummed with that. But my point is this. My point is this, in breaking the mold. We all have the right ingredients. We have the right ingredients, our lives and Jesus Christ. And God knows the right temperature to make the oven of life for us, doesn't He? And we're not always going to go into the oven looking the same. And we're not going to come out of the oven looking the same either. God decides that. We have to break the mold that you or others have placed yourself or you are placing others in. 1 Peter 1:15, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. This holiness does not always look the same for all of us, okay? Yes, in the big things, you know, we're all not to kill people. We're all not to lie. We're all not to commit adultery, okay, or steal. But when it comes down to the little things of life, your life is going to look a little bit different than mine and vice versa. And thank goodness we don't look exactly the same. Because if we did, not every single person on this planet would be able to be reached for the sake of Jesus Christ. Sounds great, doesn't it, to break the mold? Break the mold! But what about specifics? How do we break the mold? Okay? How do we move from this cookie-cutter Christian life, which is really what the Judaizers of the day were trying to do to the Galatian people? They were trying to make them fit a mold that God did not want them to fit, that God did not intend for them to fit. First thing I think you need to do is identify the mold you're trying to fit into. This is kind of a fun one, but what mold are you working the hardest to fit into? Is it the have it all together mold? I can't stand that mold. Because once I feel like I have it all together, I realize I don't. Are you trying to fit into that mold? And to portray yourself as that to other people? What about the I don't need anyone helps mold? I also call that the self-made mold. I'm a self-made man. I don't need help. The I am successful mold. Are you trying to fit that one? Are you trying to fit the always have an answer mold? I really love that mold. I don't like when other people have that mold, but I like when I have that mold. Don't you? You always feel like you must comment or share what you think. Well, sometimes it matters very little what we think, doesn't it? The I never make mistakes mold, which really leads to the next mold of the I'm too proud mold to say I'm sorry. I'm sure none of us have those molds, okay? I'm just bringing them up for just trivial purposes. These molds can go on and on, but realize what mold you are trying to live up to versus the mold that God has set for you. The mold that God has set for us can be found in Matthew 22, verses 37 to 40. It's the great commandment to love God and love people. And I think it's pretty amazing. Second point is this. If you hit it for me, be molded by the master craftsman. When I look at God and how He kind of molds our life, He doesn't have a set mold, okay? It's the person of Jesus Christ kind of overshadows all of it. Because He's the one that makes the change in our life. And the Holy Spirit now residing within us. But I think God's kind of got this gigantic cookie sheet. You know, when I was a youngster, as I said, making cookies, I could not stand making batch after batch after batch. I'd make like 20 cookies, okay? And then after a while, I'd be like, I don't want to sit in front of the oven anymore. I'm tired of this. So I'd have like 20 cookies and one gigantic cookie. Because I would take what was left in the bowl and I would just kind of plop it down onto the cookie sheet, throw it into the oven, and it would just come out however it came out. And I think God, He puts us on His cookie sheets at times, and we come out however God wants us to come out, which is an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. But we have to allow Him in His craftsmanship. The battle these Galatian people faced were others trying to mold them into something that they were not. They were wanting these Christians to be good people before they could follow God. And that is not how it works. That is not how it works. This is why Romans 5:8 is such an amazing verse. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not when you had it all together, okay? Not when you looked the part of a believer. But while you were a sinner, which is an enemy of God, that's when Christ died for you. That's an amazing thing. And these people that were speaking to the Galatian people had it backwards. Jesus didn't die for us because we deserved it. We don't go to church because we know we have it all together. We believe in Jesus because we realize we're in need of a Savior. And we go to church because we don't have it all together. Now we're getting somewhere. Because this freedom in Christ, and I'm getting close to being done, this freedom in Christ can get a little messy. It can be intrusive at times. The other thing that drove me crazy about cookies was when you make one too big and you place it next to another one that was also too big. Because sometimes when you pulled them out, what would happen to those cookies? They would grow together, and man, I could not stand that. It's like putting vegetables on my plate and having it touch the meat. That cannot happen, all right? It cannot take place. But this happens in church. When we have God molding this person and me and you, guess what happens? Sometimes our lives run together. And that can be painful at times. That can be upsetting at times. Sometimes something that I'm dealing with in life, you may have to deal with because you are also a brother and sister in Christ. And that may be uncomfortable. It might drive you crazy some days. But you know what? That's part of the process. And that's part of the experience of understanding this freedom in Christ. This is what these legalistic people were facing when they were talking to these people in Galatia. They were confronted with issues that they felt they were beyond when they needed to help and walk alongside those people. All right? Your life is going to be intruded upon when you come to church, plain and simple. And that sounds tough some days because we like to come to church and just be in our seats and be comfortable and listen to the guy talk and say, okay, great job, shake his hand, and then walk out the door and go without our day. But that's not how God intended it. God wants our lives to be intruded upon. When we have a church full of don't have it all together, it can get messy. And that is great. That's what church is. Church is not a place full of people who are perfect, but rather a place where people are being perfected from the inside out. Did you catch that? From the inside out. We sing a song about that, don't we? From the inside out. We always have it the other way around, though, don't we? We try to fix things on the outside before fixing the inside. 2 Corinthians 4:16, so we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. God must change our life from the inside out. And the last thing is this, speak and live freedom in Christ. Speak and live freedom of Christ. I understand that this can be difficult to hear. And you may think, but Ben, this person's still in there a Christian and they do this. You know what? It's not my job to be the Christian police. That's not your job either. Who is the one person who is going to change the heart of an individual? Is it you? It's Jesus Christ. And if I believe that and you believe that, then we must walk alongside other believers best we can in order to help them experience and understand what freedom in Christ is. Christ did not die so that we could become followers of another set of rules or try to fit this cookie-cutter mold that we can't fit. Christ has already fit that mold for us. And so that's why we get to experience freedom in Christ, which is following Him every single day. As Pastor Bill calls it, experiencing that dangerous wonder of God, which really is life to the full in Jesus Christ. That's what it is. Let me pray for us and we're going to be done here. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this passage. I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for these folks that are here today. And Lord, there's many other things that we could have said that maybe we should have said. But Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would make application in our life. That people would experience this freedom that You tell us about in Your Word. God, that we would walk alongside other people, not hindering their growth, but helping their growth. Not trying to get them to fit into a mold that we think is appropriate, but that they would seek to honor You with who they are and what they've experienced in You. Jesus, we love You. I thank You. Watch over those who are on their way over here. God, I pray for those who are hurting across the world, for those in the Philippines, God, who are really going through it right now. Lord, I pray that Your hand would be upon them, that You would allow us to help in any way possible. We love You, Jesus, and we thank You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.